suspense. The unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.
Hello there,
monsieur.
Enjoying the view?
Magnificent, isn't it?
It has its charm, certainly. I don't believe we've met, sir.
John Rowell. Bermutier, monsieur.
Enchanted. Aren't you the investigating magistrate for Ajaccio?
That's right.
Judging by the newspaper, you're kept pretty busy.
Busier than I could wish.
But on a Sunday, at least, you're entitled to relax.
It's a welcome change to be out of the office, yes.
Look, my villa's not far away. If you can spare the time, I'd be delighted if you'd join me for a drink.
Courtyard, Sir John.
I like it. All the advantages of being in the open air, but the vine veranda keeps the sun from frying you. Olivier.
Sir.
What about a drink for our guest?
Certainly, sir. Wine? Beer?
Oh, beer would be delicious, thank you.
Sir.
I must confess to something, monsieur.
You, contrived for me to invite you here.
Something rather like that, yes.
You were curious about the foreign recluse?
Intensely.
I'm flattered. But believe me, I shouldn't have brought you up to the house if I hadn't felt the need for some civilized conversation. Isolation's all very fine, provided you can break it up with a little gregariousness now and again.
You're accustomed to being on your own a good deal.
I'm accustomed to living away from my own kind.
I believe you've travelled widely.
Yes, I've been fortunate to have been able to visit most of the places I was curious about. Africa, India, Burma, South America.
What brought you to Corsica?
Well, that's a longish story, Bermutier. And I shall let it unfold of its own accord. Now, presently, when we've finished our drinks, I'll show you around the house and satisfy your curiosity at the same time. And I suppose you'd call this the study.
You have a remarkable collection of guns, Sir John.
Hunting has been an obsession of mine since I was a boy. A quarter of a century of slaughter.
Extraordinary.
And useless. I've given it up now.
But I understood you'd bought rifles and pistols locally.
Oh, yes, I like to keep in practice, and new weapons still intrigue me. But I don't hunt wild creatures any longer. Targets content me now.
You've had enough of danger and excitement?
Not entirely. The only difference is that where once I pursued danger, now it follows me. You see that silk screen over there?
What, the black silk? Embroidered with flowers?
It came from Japan. Striking, isn't it?
Beautiful. But somber.
Yes. Just move the screen to your left, monsieur, and you'll appreciate how correct your choice of the word somber was. The most dangerous game of all.
But surely this is a human hand.
Indeed it is.
But, Sir John, this is macabre. A human hand chained to the wall.
Why does one chain a wild beast, sir?
Well, I suppose to prevent it from attacking you.
Exactly. And that hand is chained for the same reason.
If this is a joke, and I can only presume it is, then I find it far too gruesome for my liking. It's obscene.
It's implacable.
I must confess to being utterly bewildered.
And shocked.
Disgusted.
And very properly. Your sentiments do you credit, and I say that with complete sincerity.
Then why? In heaven's name, why keep that awful thing in your study?
Sit down, monsieur, please, and I'll try to explain. One of the first principles of hunting most big game is to provide a bait for the animal you're after.
Yes, yes, sir, I can understand that. But
that hand is a bait.
For what?
For the man who owns it.
I find this conversation extremely distasteful.
Someday, or some night, he'll come for it. And when he does, he'll find me ready and waiting for him. But this time, I'll make sure of him myself.
I thought at first that Sir John must be insane. But during a subsequent visit to his home, I managed to persuade him to reveal the reason for the presence of that revolting and terrifying object in his home. I recall him in every detail. A great big fellow. Attractive, cheerful face, delightful manners. Really the most charming of hosts. Recounting that story of hate and terror.
I'm not sure how familiar you are with recent events on the slave coast of West Africa, Bermutier.
I recall very vividly reading accounts of your General Wolseley's campaign against the Ashanti a few years ago.
You do? Well, that's helpful, because I was on that expedition. And after its successful conclusion, I stayed on in the hinterland.
Must be an appalling place.
It's not a place I ever want to set eyes on again. For a time, I was virtually on my own out there. Then, eventually, I received word I was to be joined by a young officer called Ordus. I knew him slightly. Charming chap, extremely conscientious. So that when he was several days overdue, I began to fear something must have happened to him.
Sir John! Sir John!
Here! I'm on the veranda.
I'm very sorry I've been so long. There's been trouble at Fermanagh.
What kind of trouble?
Some scoundrel. A European, apparently, has been trying to buy slaves. When the chieftain refused, the man shot him and beheaded him. Then he tried to burn down the entire village. The locals report he made for the hills. I was terrified he might have got here before I did.
Now, you look played out, Order. Sit down and tell me about it. There's some lime juice over there.
I can't tell you much more, except that the fellow's a Frenchman. The Ashanti and the Denkera regard him with some kind of superstitious awe. They say he's a giant.
But why should he come here?
Our people at Cape Coast want him arrested and handed over to the French authorities in Dahomey. The Akim warriors want him because of his activities in their stamping grounds, so he probably thinks he's safer in the hills. It's possible he'll come here hoping to buy weapons and ammunition.
And if he can't buy them, he'll take them.
He's a multiple murderer. Why should one or two more killings worry him?
It was clear the Frenchman was being followed at a distance by warriors of the Akim tribe. We heard their drums thudding out the message. The giant was on his way towards our encampment. That night, Ordus and I hit on a plan. He would conceal himself on the edge of the jungle with an uninterrupted view of the ramshackle bungalow we called our headquarters. I would remain inside the bungalow in darkness and wait for our man. Askaris would guard the rear. He came shortly after dawn.
Hello! Hello there!
Into that desperate, dank little room. And I was afraid. For the first time in my life, I was truly afraid. There was this huge man. Massive shoulders and powerful forearms. Long, talon-like fingers. Lank black hair. Black, intense eyes. And that low, harsh breathing.
Anyone about?
Behind you.
What?
Drop the rifle. Go on, drop it. Hands on your head. Now.
The following day, Aldous, with 6 askaris, set off for Cape Coast with the Frenchman, Chavannes. He was to be tried, convicted, and executed on French territory. I should have gone with them, of course, but I was still gathering my strength after a bad attack of malaria. A week later, a single askari returned, terrified and exhausted. He said that one night while they were camping, Chavannes had snapped the necks of the 2 askaris on watch, shot Aldous with his own carbine, and made off into Denkyera territory. I followed him, tormented by remorse at the death of poor Aldous, and determined to execute my own justice on Chavannes. One of the askaris had hurled an assegai at the Frenchman and wounded him in the leg. Otherwise, I should never have overtaken him. For 2 hours, we played a desperate game on the edge of that dripping forest. And finally, I shattered his left leg, his one good leg. The Akim warriors raced towards him in the dim clearing. Then they brought Chavannes to me. Grinning, they were every man jack of them, with delight and pride. They had cut off Chavannes' right hand and were presenting it to me as a trophy.
Better to kill me cleanly, through the heart.
This mutilation was none of my ordering.
It's done. My hand is off, and you shall pay for it. Go where you will. That hand will torment you. Hide where you may. Someday I shall come to reclaim it.
What a hideous story. But what on earth possessed you to keep the hand?
Face, a matter of pride. Chavannes had issued a challenge that I had to accept.
But surely he must have died almost at once. Shock, loss of blood.
The Akim took him. They deserved no less. And flung him into Ruwu Swamp, just above sunrise. On the way down to Cape Coast with Harry Aldous' body, one of the askaris was strangled during the night. Chavannes' amputated hand was at his throat.
What?
Thereafter, I chained it, as you see it now.
But why here? Why Corsica?
I learned in Dahomey that Chavannes was a native of Corsica. I knew about the power of the vendetta in Corsica, and I came here to face it. I tell you, Bermutier, that hand still lives. It has smashed priceless ornaments. It has strangled 2 of my dogs. And it's waiting to destroy me. But I shall meet Chavannes on his home ground and, God willing, destroy him first.
You're saying that a dead hand can have life of its own? That it's capable of moving and functioning? Of killing?
What other explanation can there be?
Have you ever seen it actually move of its own volition?
I have seen only the results of its movements.
How long has this man of yours, Olivier, been with you?
Oh, you're not suggesting that he could have anything to do with all this?
I'm suggesting, my dear Sir John, that there must be, there has to be some human explanation for these atrocious acts. I judge you to be as honest and as sane as anyone I've ever met, and for that very reason, I'm convinced that some living person is attempting to manipulate you into madness or death.
Olivier.
Monsieur.
Sit down, Olivier. I want to talk to you. You'll forgive me for asking you the questions I must ask when I tell you that they're occasioned only by my concern for your master's safety.
I, too, am concerned for Sir John, monsieur.
Then we have a common aim. How long have you served your master?
Almost 5 years.
What were you doing before that?
I was with another English gentleman, Monsieur Charles Vaughan. He was a member of the British Parliament and a friend of Sir John's.
Why did you leave Mr. Vaughan's service?
He died of pneumonia, monsieur. At that time, Sir John had just returned from Africa and was helping to put Monsieur Vaughan's affairs in order after his death. He asked me if I would like to enter his service. I had no other employment to go to, so I accepted the offer.
And how do you get on, the two of you? You can be frank.
I admire and respect Sir John. He's a thoughtful and generous master. I know how generous he is.
What do you mean?
When we first came to Corsica, Sir John drew up his will. He read it out and asked me to be one of the witnesses. In the event of his death, he has left me a useful competence for the rest of my life.
Are you prepared to tell me who receives the bulk of his fortune? This could be very important, Olivier.
His younger brother, who already enjoys a considerable fortune in his own right. Monsieur Bermoutier, there can be no possible connection between that gentleman and the mysterious events here in Corsica. Monsieur Peter Rohl lives permanently in Edinburgh and has never once visited this island.
You may be sure I took the trouble to verify Olivier's story. All he had told me was true. Sir John himself corroborated his servant's statements, and I was satisfied that Olivier could have had no hand in the depredations that Sir John had described. Olivier was a loyal and honourable man, and over the next few months, during which Sir John had not left the grounds of his villa, I had every reason to be thankful for his obvious concern for his master's well-being.
Bermutier, my dear chap. Come and sit down, do. What a delightful surprise.
Sir John, I hope you'll forgive an unsolicited call.
Nonsense! It's good to see you again.
Oh, you've lost weight since I was last here. You're looking rather fine-drawn. Keeping fit, are you?
Oh, out and about most of every day. Don't know when I've had more exercise.
But the nights, are you getting enough sleep?
Well, as to that, I must say I have had difficulty getting off to sleep for a week or two. But Olivia's decided to start giving me a brandy toddy before I turn in. That should do the trick.
You're having nightmares?
Not nightmares, no. No, but I find I'm becoming increasingly tense. Keyed up for something that never happens.
Now look, Sir John. If you were to lead a normal life, you'd have, 30 or more good years ahead of you? Why jeopardize that by living here in isolation with that thing in your study? If you must live in Corsica, why not rent a house in Ajaccio? Live amongst ordinary people.
Let me try to explain what I have in mind. When I came to Corsica, I determined to stay here in this seclusion for sufficient time to lay that damned ghost of Chavannes forever. I decided that a year and a day, that absurd legal period we occasionally use in English law, would be ample time for whatever it might be to move against me. I must not give up now, when the end is so close.
A year and a day. When does it expire?
Next Friday, at midnight.
Well, sir, you must do as you think fit. But promise me one thing.
What's that?
That next Saturday you'll join myself and a few other friends for the biggest celebratory dinner you've ever had.
Oh, delighted, if I can choose the wine.
Oh.
Shall I put more coals on the fire, sir?
It's too hot in here as it is. The fire will do very well, Olivier. That clock, it's the correct time, isn't it?
It is, sir. I checked it against the one in the dining room not half an hour ago.
So, 10 minutes more, and we can burn that wretched hand on the fire. See it out of our lives for good.
Why not burn it now, sir?
What's that?
The wind appears to have dropped, sir. And I think the rain's slackened.
All right, Olivier. You can go.
Oh, please let me stay.
I want you to go, now. If nothing happens within the next few minutes, then I would rather look a fool to myself alone. If Chavanne should come back, I don't want your death on my conscience.
I'd rather stay and chance it with you.
I appreciate your loyalty, but you have obeyed me implicitly until now. Don't spoil our relationship by trying to argue with me.
Very well, sir.
Pass me the revolver. Thank you.
I shall wait in the hall, sir. I have my own gun.
Very well, if you must. And if you hear anything at all to worry or disturb you, take the grey and ride straight to Monsieur Bermutier. He'll know what to do. Now, you understand me, don't you? On no account are you to attempt to enter this room alone unless you hear me specifically request you to do so. Now, go. I shall lock and bolt the door once you're outside.
Very good, sir. Good night, sir.
Good night, Olivier. All right, Olivier, try the door now.
It weren't bad, sir.
Good. I shall go and sit by the fire. And Olivier?
Sir?
We shall drink a bottle of champagne together once midnight has struck, eh?
Yes, sir.
Revolver fully loaded. Safety catch off. I shall be laughing at all this tomfoolery tomorrow morning. They're breathing. Chavanne? Chavanne, are you here? I hope so, because I've waited a long time for this rendezvous. Ah, the hand is it. The fingers begin to twitch. Is your owner close by? Come on, Chavanne! Show yourself like a man!
Monsieur, there was a terrible scream, and then I heard nothing more.
When was this?
Just before midnight, sir.
And you've tried the door, of course.
It's locked and bolted from the inside, sir.
You did the right thing in bringing me here, Olivier. If anything untoward has happened to Sir John, and I very much fear something has, then it's better there should be a reliable witness at your side. I'm sure that would have been your master's wish. Now, give me your revolver. Sir John! Sir John!
Oh, let me go to him!
This is unbelievable.
He's dead.
And horribly.
I wanted to stay with him. I begged to stay.
Look at his throat, Olivier. As if he had been strangled by a skeleton.
The hand. It's gone.
The ring's been torn from the wall.
Then where is it? Where is the hand?
His mouth. Look at his mouth. A finger. He's bitten off someone's finger. It's wedged between his teeth.
But where is the hand, sir? Where is the hand?
A
like to think Sir John would have approved of his last resting place.
But there's something odd about it, Olivier.
In what way, monsieur?
Well, listen. Just listen.
I hear nothing. Except the surf in the distance.
Exactly. Everywhere else, birds and insects fill the air with sound. Here, nothing.
You're right, sir. It's uncanny.
Yet I don't remember this absolute silence when your master was first buried here.
Look, sir. There. On his grave. The hand that was never found.
And the forefinger is missing. Oh, this is a nightmare. And there's something else, Olivier. Look, gouged into the earth by the grave.
What, sir? What?
A word. The name. Chavannes.
Suspense.